Well, 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 what an exciting day for Kings fans. I have really good news. Good news for the show. Has to do with one of the Kings' remaining games. Before we get to that, Kyle Draper standing by in San Francisco. Are you ready for this one, Drapes?
Dude, I am so fired up for this one. This is a must-win game, obviously. A game back of Phoenix, a game back behind New Orleans, and you play them. I'm expecting my boys to come out with their best effort tonight. It's a massive game here against the OKC Thunder.
Yes, it certainly is. We're very excited about that. Here's the good news. You probably saw this. As you know, the Kings' last four games, they've got, of course, the OKC, then they come home, they got the Pelicans, they got the Suns, and they got the Blazers. Well, we've been following one of the stories revolving around the Suns, if you will, all season long. And yesterday, I believe it came out that they have signed former King Isaiah Thomas to a contract through the rest of the year, Drape. So that means when the Suns visit, your guy, Isaiah Thomas, should be with them. And this is a chance for you and Isaiah Thomas to forever bury the hatchet. This is going to be a great moment for the show.
It is. And here's the thing. I'm going to go down after our show, or maybe even during our show, because you know we're doing our show live from Golden One Center. Mm-hmm. If we see him out there warming up, I will walk down there mid-show, Whitey, and say hi to my guy, Isaiah Thomas. And then hopefully we'll get video of it. We'll have Nate or somebody on the scene videotape this interaction and throw it on the Sactown Sports 1140 social media channels. But it's time me and IT bury the hatchet. I have no problem with him. Uh-huh. I'm going to go holler at my guy, dap him up, and hopefully get him on the show for us.
Yes, yes. That'll be tremendous. It's going to be that kind of week, starting with a huge game tonight. What do we know, Drapes, about the injury situation as far as Keegan and also Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for the Thunder?
Well, we just got word that Keegan Murray is going to play today. So that's great news. He is going to be in the lineup. He's good to go. Regarding Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's also good to go. He's not even on their injury report today as of right now. And so he's going to go. Jalen Williams, though, their stud second-year player, he's questionable with a left ankle sprain. And so if he's out, he's their second-best player this season. So if he is out, that's a massive loss for Oklahoma City. And so, but our guy, Keegan Murray, he is available. He's good to go tonight.
Mm-hmm. The deal with Shai, he's had a bruised quad. There have been now 10 games for the Thunder since he bruised his quad. He played in four of them, missed six of them, hasn't been the same. In those 10 games, the Thunder, they've gone 5-5, and their net rating has been -3.4. So obviously, Drapes, this is a team that, you know, they're in the playoffs. They're going to have excellent seeding. There's no reason for them to push him unless they feel he's fully healthy. So it sounds like the Kings probably can expect to see full Shai in the game tonight.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they play it, because obviously they're still battling for the top spot in the Western Conference. You know, it's a dogfight between them, Minnesota, and Denver. Right now, they're one game behind the Timberwolves and Nuggets in the standings in that race for that number one spot. And, you know, he's missed six out of their last seven. I think they're trying to go for this thing. I think that, you know, if they weren't, why bring them out? Because they have a comfortable lead over the Clippers in that, you know, in the, for the race for the top three. And so this guy is a menace, man. And the thing about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he doesn't have to use his athleticism to get buckets. You know what I mean? Like, he's just so crafty out there. And so I'm worried about him tonight.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting to me. I know we talked about this yesterday. It's very interesting to me that you are very wary of the Thunder. And I certainly understand why, because earlier in the year, I don't think you were as wary of them. And I'm not criticizing you for your opinion. I just think it's interesting that you've seen them up close and personal now, what, three games? What is it that changed your view of the Thunder, where now, as I think everybody is, we're taking them very seriously, extremely seriously tonight?
Well, I think, you know, when I did the research and looked up the numbers, They're a much better defensive team than I think people really understand. We talk about, you know, Shai Gilgeous, Jalen Williams. You know, they got the big names, Chet Holmgren. But they're a top six defensive team as well. I think they're number six in defensive rating. I got the numbers right here. And when you look at it, at what they do on both ends of the floor, they're super efficient. They can knock down the three. And then on defense, they're second in steals and third in deflections. And so I think people, you know, we look at the names and they're a fun, cute story, but man, they are legit. The one advantage that the Kings have, I think, is Domantas Sabonis. He always, nobody can really handle Domas in this matchup. And so I think that's where the Kings have the advantage.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at it, you know, and then, you know, when you look at Domantas Sabonis' strength on the inside, like, they don't have any size and length and physicality outside of Chet that could even contend with Domas. And so I think they're going to make some noise, man. But you know, Whitey, when you look at the Western Conference, it's all about matchups. Some teams have better matchups than the other. For instance, they, for some reason, can't beat the Lakers. Yeah. OKC just cannot beat LA, but yet we can mop the floor with the Lakers. And so I think it's wide open in the Western Conference, man.
You know, I have nothing against the Thunder. I think they're a great story. I think it's great for the NBA to see a team, you know, lose the stars they lost and then rebuild and get to this point where they're fun to watch. So I don't begrudge them this at all. But watching the NCAA men's game last night, there was a commercial at some point. I don't even remember what it was for. But it was a commercial that had Shai and Chet Holmgren both in it. And I was just thinking, that's great for them. But why don't we have, like, Domas and De'Aaron Fox? Why aren't they in national commercials for something? Again, nothing against the Thunder, but I saw that and I thought, come on, that should be Sacramento Drapes. Why isn't it? Anyway, we'll get to it.
No, I think, yeah, you know, when you look at De'Aaron, yeah. The connection is bad here. I don't understand what's going on here, fellas. This is killing me, man.
Gotcha. Yeah, gotcha. Can you hear me now, just with a delay?
Yeah, yes. Like and sometimes you cut out, and uh-huh. Then I know on the other side, the delay is super bad after I finish answering as well. Yeah, it's kind of choppy, man. I'm going to have to revisit this setup here. I'm not sure exactly what's going on.
Yeah, not your fault. Nobody's fault. What do you want to do, Jay? Should we give Drapes a second to – yeah, okay. Drapes, why don't you take a second? You break down, and then we'll see how we can build it back up, see what we can address. And in the meantime, of course, Jay will – fill in as best as he can while also trying to take over technically here. So we'll get back with Drapes as soon as we can. He, of course, is in San Francisco today. He's not in Oklahoma City. He's in San Francisco because he has the pre- and post-game duties tonight. So we'll try to remedy that situation as quickly as we can as we get ready for the first of the Kings' last four games of this. No matter what you think of this season, I don't think anybody can argue that it's been a very memorable season with perhaps the most memorable moments still to come. And tonight could be a very eventful evening because you got the Kings, of course, playing Oklahoma City. Then we also have tonight, we have the Lakers are playing the Warriors. And then we have the Suns playing tonight. And we also have the Pelicans playing tonight. So the Kings could end up anywhere from by the way, New Orleans is at Portland, pardon me, and then the Suns are hosting the Clippers. So the Kings could end up anywhere from mathematically tied for sixth. Then, yeah, some tiebreakers would come into play, but obviously that doesn't really matter until you get to the end of the year. Or they could end up, if things don't go well tonight, they could be in ninth place all by themselves. So we already knew that every game here is critically important, and they know that, so it'll be interesting to see what kind of effort the Kings are able to bring forth tonight against an Oklahoma City team that is getting Shai back. Jay Williams a little bit hobbled. It's going to be a very intense game. Who knows? I mean, if these teams end up playing in the playoffs, that's still a possibility as well with some kind of, you know, 3-6 matchup. I could see these two teams becoming rivals, but that I'm getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. The Kings still have the possibility to become rivals with a handful of teams in the West. It all depends on how far they're able to get, how many playoff series are able to play. Last year, of course, the Warrior rivalry came to life. It was something we all knew was dormant. It's like, that should be a rivalry. It's not. Then all of a sudden, poosh, it was. So as the Kings continue to improve in the years to come and hopefully play in many more playoff series, you know, the playoff series, they breed contempt. So perhaps the Kings have many more rivals that they're going to be collecting here over the next few years. And I could see how Oklahoma City could become one of those. Keegan Murray tonight was questionable with a sore calf. He's expected to play. Great news, obviously, for the Kings. Shea expected to play for the Oklahoma City Thunder. When we come right back, we'll take a look at what Domas says could be the key to his great season. It's the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Interesting spot there from Carmichael Dave. You know, he talks about Dr. Pash in San Francisco. When I first heard the spot, I thought it was Dr. Passion San Francisco. Like, that's the name. Passion San Francisco, which sounds like a cocktail, but good for you, Dave. And thank you, Dr. Jack, for supporting Sacktown Sports. Kyle Draper probably doesn't want to touch that. He is in San Francisco right now, getting ready for his pregame duties tonight. Drapes, we're very, very excited. Four games left. It's hard to believe, isn't it, that there's only four games left in this regular season?
Yeah, man, four games left, and everyone is important. I give Adam Silver some credit, man, the way they devised this schedule, this play-in tournament and everything. I mean, when you look at the Western Conference, the standings, Whitey, outside of the Clippers, and I could argue the Clippers aren't even safe at four, I mean, every single spot in the Western Conference is open. Like, 1-10 is not settled in the Western Conference, which is crazy. And then you look in the East, you got 2-7 separated by 3.5 games. I mean, it's just crazy, man. And it makes for great basketball down the stretch these last four games, man. It's going to be fun, man. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, and let's face it, the play-in, it's working. It's very exciting. Now, it kind of stinks if you're like the seventh seed in that, in the old days, pre-play-in, you're in. You made the playoffs, and now you got to play your way through. The 7 and 8 used to be automatic bids, but I don't think there's any question that it definitely has worked and has definitely added to the excitement of the regular season.
So added to the anxiety that we feel this last week of the season. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm nervous, man. Like, think about it, Whitey. And I was telling somebody about this the other day. You know, the NBA season is crazy, and it's like this with all sports. We know you're going, and then boom, just like that, it's over. And so, you know, this thing could be over next Tuesday or Wednesday for the Sacramento Kings. I know. I don't want to say that. I don't even want to think about it, but it would be sad. And then you got the long off season and everything. And so it's always I get a little anxiety here these last couple of games, these last few weeks of the season.
All right, since you brought that up, I'm going to bring this up. And nobody is hoping this. Nobody is expecting this. But it's funny. I was, you know, watching the NCAA championship game last night, and I was thinking, okay, let's just say nothing goes the Kings' way the rest of the year. They actually would be in the lottery. Right? If you're out of the play-in, and if they're in the lottery, top 14, that pick that conveys to Atlanta is lottery protected. They would have their first pick, and they would actually have a chance to draft Zach Edey. Not that they would, but it's funny. I realized, wow, they would be looking at maybe, you know, depending on what happens in the lottery, they would be picking, you know, somewhere around 14th. So they might actually have a pick if things don't go the way we hope.
Are people excited about that?
No.
I feel like people, right? Yeah, nobody wants the pick, right? They want to convey this pick.
Right.
I've seen people on social media talking about, we need to get rid of this pick. So, you know, give it to Atlanta so we can look forward and maybe trade some picks in the future, acquire some talent, some way, something like that. And so I know maybe you're trying to be Mr. Brightside or something like that and look at the positive. But no, man, we and supposedly this isn't that great of a draft, you hear?
Right.
You know, it's you know, maybe top five, six picks, maybe are going to be solid. Some of the Kentucky kids are going to be good. But, you know, if you're drafted 13 or 14, this isn't the year to have that kind of pick.
No, you're right. It just surprised me when I realized it was like getting, you know, bonked in the back of the head by a 2x4. It's like, oh, yeah, that could happen. Anyway, let's hope it doesn't. Right now we move on to Drape's Takes.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
Kings Nation, it is time for us to rise up. Our best basketball of the season has to be played tonight. And this is what I'm looking for tonight, Whitey and Jay. This is what I'm looking for. I need my guy, De'Aaron Fox, to be the best player on the floor tonight. I know Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is an MVP candidate. I know he starred at Kentucky. I know he has more 30-point games than anybody in the association this year. But, and I've said it time and time again, Whitey, if we're looking at Trey Lyles, if we're looking at Davion Mitchell, if we're looking at some of these other guys to help lead us into that top six spot, or at least the seventh spot, we're sorely mistaken. It has to be our stars, and this is when your stars play the best. We talked about De'Aaron Fox. How come he isn't getting endorsements? How come he's not doing this? How come he's not doing that? Well, you make your reputation this time of the season. In this game against Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I need De'Aaron Fox to have a 40-piece tonight and be a clutch player tonight.
Yeah, this is an opportunity, not just tonight, but the next four games, a chance for De'Aaron Fox to show that he is the player that the Kings have always known that he could become. They need him to be that guy right now, Drapes.
Yeah, 100%. They need him to be that guy. And then conversely, they need Domantas Sabonis, you know, to be as great as he has been against this Oklahoma City Thunder team. You know, he just dominates Chet Holmgren, and he no doubt has to be the best player on the floor at the big position. You know, we saw last week against the Knicks, we let Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson dominate us. Well, tonight, I think the Kings have to have that Fox and Domas combination working. To me, those two guys have to be the best players on the floor for the Sacramento Kings to get this win. My second Drapes Takes, Whitey, I want to look at the standing. Right now, the Kings are in eighth, but they're only a game behind Phoenix. They're only a game behind the Pelicans. And so, for me, you have to maintain at least the top eight. I know the Lakers are a half game back, but they only got three games to go. Warriors are playing some of their best season. But if they have to open up on the road or play a one-game play-in, you know, one-game winner-take-all, I know they can win it. I know they can to advance to the playoffs, but it would leave a sour taste in my mouth, my man, because let's think about this, Whitey. Here's what I'm saying. All season long, we've been laughing at the Lakers. We've been laughing at the Warriors. And here they are on our heels. Like, the one thing we got over their fans right now is that they're behind us in the standings. We cannot relinquish a top eight spot in the Western Conference to let one of those guys pass us.
Yeah, and the good news on that front, as you know, is that the Lakers, they're only, what, half a game back, as you say. But they only have three games left, and the Kings have that tiebreaker. So the Lakers are really running short on time to catch the Kings.
But, fellas, you know what, though? I'm starting to see Laker fans chirp, though. I really am. Like,
fine.
Nah, we can't have that. I'm with you, Drapes. I'm glad you said that. That might have almost been Jay's take number one. Like, these guys are really starting to chirp.
Yeah, they're
not.
And not
only them,
though.
Jay, the Warriors fans are starting to come up too.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah. They've won 7 out of 10, and they're two games behind us. They're not going to catch us. But the one thing we've had all season long is I could laugh at the Warriors. The dynasty is done. They're toast. The Kings own the Lakers. If the Lakers finish ahead of us in the standings, bro, that would be disastrous. I don't know if I can handle it, man.
How about losing a 9-10 game to either one of those teams? I don't even want to think about that.
Think about that, Whitey. Move on, Drapes.
This guy being Mr. Negative again, being Mr. Negative over here. My third and final Drapes take is this, and it's about the Western Conference. I know Denver's the reigning champ. I know they're a great team. I know they're going to be hard to beat. But in my opinion, when I look at the Western Conference, because we just got word that Karl-Anthony Towns has been cleared for 5-on-5 duties, full 5-on-5 contact. So he's coming up. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got like 7 teams that I think can make the Western Conference, the NBA Finals. Whoa. In the Western Conference. I'll run them down for you, Whitey.
All right.
I'm not afraid to put names on it. I'm okay with that smoke. I'm going to go with the Timberwolves. I think they can make a run. I'm going to go with the Nuggets. I think they can make. I'm going to even go with the team we're seeing tonight, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Mm-hmm. I think they can make a run. I'm going to go with the Clippers as well. You're like, oh, the Clippers, what? No, it's all about matchups, Whitey. So I'm going to include them. I'm going to include the Dallas Mavericks. That's right, the Dallas Mavericks. This is a newfound Mavericks team. Mm-hmm. If I'm the Mavericks, the only team I'm afraid of is the Denver Nuggets. Like, I don't want to face Denver. But other than that, I think the Mavericks can beat them. I still believe in the Phoenix Suns. So that's 6 right there. And as crazy as it sounds, I'm going to include the Lakers in that mix as well. As long as they don't play Denver, I think the Lakers can beat anybody out there as well. And so this is great, man. It's a Wild West. And if I'm Adam Silver, 7 teams possibly can make it out of the Western Conference. I love that, man. So that's my Drape Stakes, which is brought to you by Ausco Uniforms. Discover why it pays to keep clean with Ausco Uniforms.
I'm just a little stunned here. You were just coming down my road. You were, in fact, all the way in my kitchen. Telling me I was being too negative. And then you come up with your 7 finals contenders in the West. The Kings aren't on it. And the Lakers are on the list.
No, I almost cut his mic.
I'm Mr. Negative.
I almost cut his mic. I almost cut his mic, Whitey. I'm not going to lie to you.
Wow.
He brought the Lakers name to this show. We don't do that here.
No, see, that's the problem. You're pandering to the crowd. You're pandering to the audience, the listeners. I keep it real. I keep it real, fellas. I call it like I see it. We saw Lakers last year. They mollywopped everybody. They went through Memphis. They went through Golden State. And then they ran into the buzzkill known as the Denver Nuggets. Here's the thing. If the Lakers don't have to face the Nuggets, I would take them over, let's say, an OKC. I would take them over the Clippers, Jay.
They might not make it out of the play-in.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true. That's the Western Conference for you, though, in a nutshell, fellas.
By the way, you mentioned Domas. You talked about how important it is for Domas to play well. I'm sure you saw this. Domas telling Woj on the Woj podcast that one of the keys to the success he's having this season is that he deleted all his social media accounts. So no social media whatsoever for Domas. Says, oh, he has so much more time now. He doesn't have to worry about what anyone's thinking. So I don't know. I don't see a lot of players doing that, but good for him.
Yeah, great for him, man. And you know what? I'll keep it real with you. When I heard that story, I was like, dang, maybe I should do that too. You know what I mean? Like, my mental health would be a whole lot better. And so I'm thinking about it too, man. But that's crazy. You know, we've heard of LeBron going, quote unquote, zero dark 30
that's
or whatever
right.
he
that's
calls
right.
it.
Yeah.
You know, but that's for playoffs and everything. Mm-hmm. Domas to do it all season long. But the benefits, man, he said his life's better. He doesn't have to stress about that kind of thing, man. That's pretty sweet. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Players stress too much about that as it is, don't they?
Yeah, but they're human, Whitey. They're human, right? I mean, that's how it is, bro. You know, especially, you know, if you're just on there and you get all these mentions, you're just clicking and then you start seeing negative stuff. I know you wouldn't understand because all your mentions are glowing and perfect,
right.
obviously.
Right.
You know what I mean? But
right.
But, man, athletes, man, I'm sure it's a lot. And you got to think, too, especially some of the younger guys. These are still kids, a lot of these guys. You know what I mean? 18, 19, 21, 22, 23-year-old. And their whole world is on their phone and they're checking social media. And I'm sure it could bother them.
Yeah, I understand. I've been hearing from a few people in Las Vegas lately because I've been tweeting about the whole A's thing, and I'm sure that you know they have some wonderful people in Las Vegas, but they also have some very people who are out there. So anyway, but that's true of any place. When we come right back, I got a question for Drapes about De'Aaron Fox and Shea. What does Shea do that De'Aaron Fox doesn't do? Also, we'll take a look at the Kings' play-in versus playoff odds for what that's worth when we come right back. Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. San Francisco getting ready for his pre- and post-game duties. So you got Jay and myself, Whitey Gleason, in our Sacramento studios. Maybe you saw it last night late in the UConn win in the NCAA Men's Championship game. There was a commercial, and it was, I think it was for a couple of things, like it was an NCAA car commercial, one of those cross-promotional things. Anyway, Shea was in it, and so was Holmgren, and Holmgren was singing, and Shea was singing, yeah, that's okay, you're a little flat. And I was thinking, why are those guys in a national commercial? Why aren't Domas and De'Aaron Fox in the commercial? On the chat, Epic Airby says, same reason they didn't get All-Star nod. Should be asking, what are the Kings going to do about it? Answer needs to be prove them wrong, and that starts tonight. The Kings with a chance to improve their national profile and teach a little lesson to these upstart Oklahoma City Thunder, Drapes.
No, you're right, man. It's, you know, and before the break, you said, what does Shea have that De'Aaron doesn't or something like that? And we talked about this too, Jay, earlier this season. You know, Shea and those guys, they put themselves out there, right? They want to be the face in the NBA. They're at New York Fashion Week. They're, you know, at all the big events and everything. They're trying to make a statement with their gear. And so I think our guys are just blue-collar guys. They're all about their play on the court. And I think, you know, when you look at it, this is crazy to me. This is crazy to me when you think about it, fellas. And you tell me. This time last year, was Shea Gilgeous-Alexander on a higher pedestal than De'Aaron Fox? Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. I don't know. But the fact that now Shea Gilgeous is a top three MVP candidate,
right.
You know, he's a bona fide all-star. You know, he's, you know, getting all the all-NBA love and everything like that. What do our guys need to do? But I also go back to, you know, you look at women's basketball and what Caitlin Clark did for women's basketball. Even though South Carolina was the best team and they should have been getting the most pub, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, the Lakers, the Warriors, they're like the Caitlin Clark of the NBA, meaning they attract viewers. They attract an audience. And I think our guys, for some reason, just aren't as sexy as those guys. I think De'Aaron is trying to, you know, make a move towards that area, signing with Steph Curry, Curry Brand, Clutch Sports, you know, Rich Paul and all those guys. Domas, I don't think will ever care about that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I do think, you know, I think De'Aaron, you know, and I'm not going to count his pockets or anything, Jay or Whitey, but I would imagine the dude can make a lot more money if he did put himself out there more, but maybe that's not, you know, what he's about.
Mm-hmm. I think on the court, it's pretty simple. As good as De'Aaron Fox is, if you go to Basketball Reference, you put their numbers side by side, which I did today, because I got nothing better to do. But, you know, De'Aaron Fox is having a fine year, and he's put up fine numbers. But Shea, this year and just about every year, in just about every category, is at least a notch better. And the bottom line is Shea has been much more consistent, and he's been much more efficient than De'Aaron Fox.
Dude, what are you trying to do on this show, man? What are you trying to
– Why every time you say something bad about the Kings, you're keeping it real. And when I do, it's like, you're a negative Nancy. I'm pointing out areas in which De'Aaron Fox could still become better. That's all.
You're right. I'm with you on that. But here's the thing, too, and you're 100% right about that. And here's the thing about De'Aaron Fox. His efficiency numbers that you talked about, they are worse this year than last year. And I think that's where, when you look at, you know, the scoring this year, De'Aaron Fox is still scoring at a major clip. He's still out there getting buckets, no doubt about that. But it's the other stuff. You know, it's the three-point percentage has taken a dip down. The field goal percentage, his two-point field goal percentage is down. He doesn't get to the free throw line as much as Shea Gilgeous. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander line.
Yes.
You know, and throw out Joel Embiid, because Joel Embiid only played 37 games. Shea Gilgeous is the top free throw getter in the NBA at attempts wise, you know what I mean? Excuse me, in makes. And then he's top four in attempts. And our guy, De'Aaron Fox, he makes life tough for himself. He doesn't get the call. He doesn't get the whistle. I'm scrolling down. I'm looking for De'Aaron Fox. He's 20th in the NBA in free throw attempts. Come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, when you look at, you know, the two players, you know, and you're right, Shea's numbers are better this year. His team is doing better. I think he gets a little more respect from the officials as well. And so, he's a sexier player right now than De'Aaron.
You hit on one of the absolute keys. If De'Aaron Fox were here and he were being totally honest with us, he would say, man, I can't get to the line. He says, I'm getting hammered. And you can see during games how much it bothers him. He's complaining a lot because he really feels like, what do I have to do? And he's not getting to the line. He's had a few games where he's gone to the line a lot, but for the most part, he can't get a call. It's something that's clearly bothering him, and it gets back to something Coach Brown said, I think it was after the Knicks game, he said, we have to do a better job of selling the calls. It's almost like there's nothing else we can do. We're getting fouled. They're not calling it. I don't know what else to do. We have to start exaggerating the contact. So I think the Kings are very exasperated with that fact that you just mentioned.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and I'm looking at the list of the guys who lead the league in free throw shooting. One thing that they do, and it's become an art form, drawing fouls. Like, we know Joel draws fouls. Giannis is a different kind of player. He draws fouls with his aggressiveness, physicality. But I look at a guy like, and this guy wouldn't qualify, I think. Trae Young's only played in 51 games. Trae Young, DeMar DeRozan, the way they sell fouls. Damian Lillard is among. How's Damian Lillard at 7.1 free throw attempts per game? And our guy, De'Aaron Fox, only at 5.8. I think there's an art to drawing fouls, the pump fake. You know, some of those guys use the pump fake a lot and then jump into the defender and get the foul call. I think that's something, you know, when you look at De'Aaron Fox's game, maybe we should see some evolution from De'Aaron Fox in that regard. He has to sell it a little bit more. You know, sometimes you have to go in there looking to draw the foul instead of just trying to complete the bucket.
I think there's two things that come to mind for me. One is this offense, assuming that, and I'm considering this the same as what the Warriors used to run. Obviously, it's a little different, but we talked about this last week. When Mike Brown was with the Warriors, it was not unusual for the Warriors to be among the teams that went to the line the fewest because they take so many threes. But then the other thing is, and you're right, of course, guys like DeRozan, Trae Young, they're better at selling calls, but also some of those guys, and you mentioned Giannis, the officials are already predisposed to thinking, this is a superstar, I'm going to send him to the line. You know, you can't prove that, but it's pretty apparent that officials, they don't officiate De'Aaron Fox that way.
Not at all. And let me throw something at you, you know, because we're talking about superstars getting the calls. De'Aaron Fox takes as many free throws as Donovan Mitchell and Kevin Durant. They're right around the same.
Huh.
And those are superstars too.
Yeah.
And so are they not getting the benefit of the whistle? I think really, and this is something the NBA clearly is trying to crack down on, some of the guys at the top of that list, they're actors, Whitey. Let's call it what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, they're auditioning for Broadway with some of their flops and acting and everything like that. And our guys just go out there and play. You can't tell me, and I know we're talking about De'Aaron Fox, but you can't tell me that Domantas Sabonis shouldn't be getting more, the benefit of the whistle. You know, I'm looking at Domas, and this is just on the NBA.com stats site, so it's not, you know, broken down into who qualifies and not. He's 30th in the NBA in free throw attempts. Kristaps Porzingis gets more free throws than Domantas Sabonis. And Domas is a power player. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, he has to be more like LeBron, where if he gets brushed in the head, he looks like he got, you know, somebody's shot him in the head or something.
Fellas, how about this, though? And the Domas one kind of distilled, I guess, kind of is going to pick apart what I'm going to ask you guys. But to me, I think De'Aaron plays better in space. And I'm not sure he has the capability yet. And I think this is something he needs to work on. And I think this is part of the reason why he doesn't get free throws. A lot of free throw attempts in my mind is for me, he works to get to open space. He doesn't work to get to the cup a lot, right? And so I think his play predetermines a lot of his foul calls too. And just think about it, fellas. Most of the time when De'Aaron is cooking, he's cooking in space. He's getting by people. He's getting to that mid-range, that floater, that drop back. You know, he has open area around him. Now, Domas Drapes, I'm with you. I have no idea because Domas gets down there and he's getting slapped around like Shaq. He's getting hacked. Mm-hmm. He's getting chopped. Yep. You know, he's getting kicked. He's getting stomped. We've seen him get stomped out. Nobody call a foul. So I get that. But for me, I think De'Aaron has to do – you know, and it's, I don't want to say do a better job. I just think he doesn't, he's not a go to the cup guy like SGA or DeMar DeRozan or, you know, Trey. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I hear you, Jay, and you're right. And, you know, that's, I guess, you know, when you're the fastest player in the league, maybe you can create that space better than a lot of these guys as well. I will say this too, though, in relation to that. Maybe De'Aaron has to figure out how to use his body a little bit better to draw the fouls. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying selling it or anything like that, but the guys I just mentioned, the DeMar DeRozans of the world, even Luka, like they have a way of, you know, still being able to get off the shot, but also absorb the contact. And I think, you know, when De'Aaron goes to the basket, let's say, he's looking to score the basket. He's not looking to absorb the contact or, you know, get the and one as much as some of those other guys. And so I don't know, man. It's something that's frustrating. But let me tell you this, though. This is crazy, too. And not to shoot down our narrative or anything like that. De'Aaron Fox per game takes more free throws than LeBron James. De'Aaron Fox, 5.8. LeBron, 5.6. So, I mean, I can't say it's just star cause. I think – there are certain guys who just know how to draw a foul. And, you know, like I would imagine in L.A., they're having the same argument. How come LeBron doesn't get to the line more? But the narrative we think is like LeBron's always at the line. The Lakers always getting free throws. But De'Aaron's shooting more free throws than LeBron this season in terms of attempts per game.
We got the Kings play-in versus the Kings playoff odds when we come back. Drive, guys. Sacktown Sports. Beam Team against Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. Drapes is in San Francisco getting ready for his pregame. You got Jay and Whitey here in Sacramento. And somebody's coming after you a little bit, Drapes. Good-naturedly, I think. But still, I feel like I need to come to your defense. You know, a while ago on the show, a short while ago, you were talking about how good the West is. You said you could name seven teams in the West that you think are legitimate teams that could be in the NBA Finals. CK916 says, seven teams? Way to go out on a limb, Drapes. But I think he's he's missing the point. You were just saying, there are legitimate NBA contenders in the West, right. And you came up with seven of them.
Right, exactly. And Let's be honest, you know, you know it as well as I do. You guys know. Usually we already know the top two or three teams, you know. And I think this year, like, man, the West is so stacked. Let's go to the East, for instance. How many teams in the East legitimately have a shot at making it?
What?
I'm going to throw the Celtics. I know, right? Celtics, I'm going to give the Bucks a chance. I'm going to give the Sixers a chance because Embiid's back. Uh-huh. So, you know, maybe. I'm going to give Miami because they proved it last year. But that's about it. Four. Uh-huh. Cleveland's reeling right now. They're 3-7. Orlando is still too young. They're missing some pieces. The Knicks are banged up. Julius Randle probably not coming back. Indiana. And so you legit have seven teams that can make it to the NBA Finals in the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what CK916 would crawl up his butt and got them all in a you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what got it in his little pants. Or
well, he may have been. Yeah, I don't know this for a fact. I don't mean to speak for him, but maybe like Jay and I, maybe he was a little confused that you named your seven teams and you had the Lakers on there and you didn't have the Kings on there. I think some of us were a little hurt, frankly hurt by that, Drapes.
I'm hurt, man, but shoot, I can't put a team that's lost to Detroit, Washington, Charlotte, Portland. Like, you want me to keep going on now? I mean,
how are the Lakers on there?
Because the Lakers went to the Western Conference Finals last year. They got LeBron James. They got Anthony Davis. Come on, man. You're talking about LeBron James. Are you really going to count out a LeBron James team? We just went to the Western Conference Finals last year. Come on, Whitey. See, that's what I'm saying. Now, if Kings fans want me to, you know, carry the purple towels for them, I'm going to keep it real on this show, Whitey. That's why people tune in. They're not being fed, you know, the company line or anything like that. We call it like we see it on this show. Now, if you guys want to pander to the crowd, Go for it. I'm going to tell you how I feel.
Was I pandering to the crowd when I pointed out that, you know what, the Kings may have a chance to draft Zach Edey? That's not pandering to the crowd, right? But when I give you that kind of reality, you recoil in horror. Like, come on, don't say that.
All right, I'm going to take it easy on you from here on out. I'm going to take it easy on you.
Oh, you know, it's a nervous week, right? There's a lot of tension here. It's fun and it's exciting, but there's also a lot of anxiety.
It is. And, you know, here's the thing about the Kings. And I see you out there, Compio, on the YouTube chat, Sacktown Sports 1140. He says, is Draper turning on the Kings? He's just trying to create, some headlines. He's trying to troll right now. But if the Kings, and this loss of Malik Monk hurts big time, if they can somehow figure out a way to get out of the first round and avoid Denver, they can make some noise, too. I just think the road is too tough. I don't think they're quite there yet with the injuries. I think the lack of experience hurts them. But the Kings can make some noise. It's all about matchups. But, man, they got to get out of their current situation right now.
Your buddy Ryan Williams-Zard on the chat says, I can see Drapes at the roulette table. I'm going to give 1 through 36 a chance.
That would be awesome, right? Just put them down on, just cover the whole table, right? You know, I'm going to win something. That's funny.
Speaking of odds, ESPN had these today for what they're worth. Per ESPN, Kings, and they have these for all the teams, the Kings' chances percentage for making the play-in, okay? Mm. Being in the play-in, ESPN says 94%. Be the 7 or 8, one of those in that 7-8 game. They say 63% chance of the Kings being in the 7-8 game. The 9 or 10 game, ESPN says 32% chance they're in the 9-10 game and make the playoffs outright, 6 or better, 54%. So better than 50%, according to ESPN. I have no idea what the formula is. Maybe it's
right
in there.
Those numbers don't add up to me.
Better than 50% chance that the Kings are the 6th seed or better this year. Those aren't bad, all things considered.
But didn't you just say that you're like 90% to be in a play-in?
94% to be in the play-in. Yeah, but you can still get through there and end up in the playoffs. I mean, make the playoffs one way or the other.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. I shouldn't assume that means they're going to be 6th or better. But yeah, better than 50% chance of being in the playoffs one way or the other, that's pretty good, all things considered. Isn't it? Isn't it?
I don't think so. No.
You don't like that?
If we told you a month ago this team was 50-50 to be in the playoffs,
a month ago,
something went terribly wrong.
And something did. A few things did.
Yeah, you're right. The Malik Monk injuries, the loss at Washington. And so I would be very disappointed, man, if we don't make the playoffs. Like, even if we do get 9 or 10, I would be disappointed, yes. But the goal is still attainable. And so we could beat the Miami Heat, and at least we could beat the Lakers. Lakers were a 9-10 seed last year and made through. I know, I'm just saying, you know, I'm just comparing our situation to what they're doing. And so if they could do it last year, why can't we do it this year? But you got it. I need a full playoff series. I don't need 1 or 2 games. I need a 7-game series, best of 7. Then I'll feel good about this King season.
Hope you're enjoying the Kyle Draper Lakers pregame show today. Jay, has it been a little Laker heavy?
Pandering again. He's trolling right now.
A little
Jay.
Laker heavy, or is it me?
Hey, let's keep it real. I'm the only one that get my check signed by Vivek. So, you know, if any of us bleeds green, that's me, big fella. So.
All right. Should we get TC on the other side? Yeah, we'll come right back, get back to the phones. Also, we'll look at what, if anything, we've learned about the Kings so far on this trip when we come right back. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.